Lord Jesus, it's absolutely amazing that you use any of us, but you long to. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would encourage us through your word, that you'll stir us up by your spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would point to us the things that you're saying this morning that will build us up as your church, that we can be a church that witnesses who you are, and that we're a church of the good news. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you're opening up in the church and in people's lives and in people's place of influence. And I pray this morning you'll continue to do that. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew 4, I've used this as an introduction a number of times, but the introduction still is as relevant in the beginning as it is now. And this week we're looking at the ministry of Jesus and how that relates to the ministry of Core. And as we began the service, we had John the Baptist preparing the way for the Lord, for the arrival of Jesus, as he came to begin his ministry on earth. And as if you follow through from chapter 3 through, you have the baptism of Jesus, where Jesus is anointed for ministry. We have the time where he's taken into the desert to be tempted. And then we have the time where Jesus begins his ministry. And he begins his ministry by fulfilling that which was said in Isaiah, that the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. When Jesus appeared on the scene, suddenly light was going to break into the darkness. Jesus stood up amongst the people and said this, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Jesus ushered in the light was coming in to drive out the darkness. Jesus' light was going to bring life to the land. Jesus' light was going to bring hope to those who have no hope. And as Jesus ushers in the kingdom of God, a new rule exerts itself upon the earth. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom brings his authority and power against the kingdom of darkness, undoing the work of the devil. When God proclaimed his kingdom, it ushered in a kingdom not fully realized now, but we will see signs and symbols of God's kingdom as we proclaim the kingdom and minister God's healing power. And as we saw a few months ago in the film Narnia, do you remember that story, the Narnia, the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe? And it talks about, it says, Aslan is on the move. Do you remember that story? And as they heard the echo that the lion was suddenly going to rule and exert his authority on the earth, we suddenly see the black and white picture begin to turn from bland, boring blandness to suddenly life begins to poke its way through and buds begin to appear. And suddenly, the world that had no hope suddenly has the hope begins to come. And it's the same way with Jesus' kingdom. It's not fully realized now, but we see signs and symbols of it as we proclaim the kingdom of God. One day God's kingdom will be fully realized when there will be a new heaven and a new earth, as God always intended it to be. And so we have God's proclamation of the kingdom of God, but then we have Jesus calling people to follow him, to be followers and participators in the kingdom of God. He says this, "Come follow me," Jesus said to these disciples on the shore. He says, "and I will make you fishers of men." So Jesus proclaimed the kingdom. Then he called people to follow him, and he called Peter, Andrew, James and John to be kingdom people. And later on he called the disciples, and later on he called you and me to be his followers in the kingdom of God. So he proclaimed the kingdom, called people to be part of the kingdom, then he modeled the kingdom. It says this, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. Those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the regions across the Jordan followed him. So Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God, and God, the Spirit of God, backed up the word of God with miraculous signs, healing and delivering people from all sorts of illnesses. And then what did he do? He goes, I've done it. Now you do it. So he proclaims the kingdom, calls us to be part of the kingdom, he models the kingdom, and then anoints us to be participators and ministers of his kingdom. We see later on as he sends the disciples out, he says, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely have received, freely have give. And so the first part of Jesus' ministry is the declaration of a new reign and rule. The first part of Jesus' ministry is coming to model and usher in the new kingdom. Then God models the kingdom, he encourages people to be part of the kingdom, and sends them out to be ministers of the kingdom. Jesus understood his ministry in light of the words from Isaiah 61, incredibly familiar to all of us here, but nonetheless, we've got to continually find it afresh every time. This is the ministry of Jesus. He says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so in that, we see anointed upon Jesus when he was coming out of the water. What is he anointed for? He was anointed to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed. So anointing upon Jesus is that which unlocks the darkness. And the key to Christian community is Jesus' ministry. The ministry of Jesus is key to the growth and health of the church. The ministry of Jesus is key to the health of our community, our city, our nation, and beyond. And the outwork of Jesus' ministry is to rebuild, to restore, and to renew. And do you remember last year on the gates out here, we had those big words, which are the words out of Isaiah 61 verse 4, which are about, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. And so we asked the artist from over the road whether he could articulate the vision of the core and summarize it, and he did just that, and it was on the gates of the church. And I thought it was a wonderful prophetic statement to people that this is what we're about. We're about restoration. We're about rebuilding, restoring, renewing. And that's what Jesus came. Through his church, Jesus came to restore people, to restore communities, restore nations. So how does God rebuild, restore, renew? Well, it's through his church and it's through its people. It's through you and it's through me. It's as simple as that. There's no other plan. That's it. That is the plan. It says in Ephesians, his intent was now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And so it's the church that expresses God's manifold wisdom. It's the church that brings to life and exerts God's kingdom to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. We are the witness of what God is doing upon the earth. The call upon us, the church, is to be part of Jesus' plan of rebuilding, restoring, renewing. Rebuilding, restoring, renewing the person, the community, the city, the nation, those inside the church, and those outside the church. The vision for CORE has not changed. The vision for CORE is this, city outreach for renewal and evangelism. Does that say well before we came? What does that stand for? City outreach, renewal, and evangelism. There's three things this God has called this church to be. Firstly, we're called to be a church of city outreach, a call to reach the city. But you've got to start somewhere, don't you? So you start from the church, you start from the community, you start from the city, and you go out. Jesus understood this. He said this, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You've got to start where you stand. You can't start over there and say, if we do it over there, it's going to be okay. You've got to do it where you stand. And when you do it, you stand, people will be convinced. So we then hit the community. If the community convinced what we believe, well, they'll be part of what we're doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's got to start somewhere. So the first thing is we outreach the city, and we're beginning to do that, and we're going to explain a little bit more about some of the things we are doing. Secondly, it's about renewal. Renewal both physically and spiritually. And outside in Dublin, we've seen a huge renewal of buildings and properties and things, haven't we, over the city. If you came here 10 years ago, you would never recognise many places within the nation. And so part of renewal is replacing, repairing, well, the word renewal means this, the replacing or repairing of something which is worn out, run down or broken. So part of even the spiritual regeneration is actually is the urban renewal. It's renewing those things around us. And this church is an example of that. This church was a wreck of a place a few years ago, and it's restored, renewed, in order for us to worship Jesus and then to share that with our brothers and sisters outside. The second process of renewal is the one of personal renewal. In the dictionary, it says the state of process of being made spiritually new in the Holy Spirit. So God's call for us is to be transformed, be renewed by His Spirit into the image of Christ, so that we're being reflectors of who Christ is. And finally, evangelism is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And we need to be renewed so that we are the good news of Jesus Christ and not the bad news. We speak well but live badly. We've got to speak well and live good. And I don't mean under, you know, but we've got to be reflective of God, who God is. And we've got to learn how to do that. I have, for sure. So we're called to outreach, to renewal, and to evangelism. So Jesus called us to be His witnesses, showing the world what God is like. And so the invitation is from Jesus to be part of what God is doing on earth and in our particular situation, Dublin. He wants to activate our gifts, our time, and our money for the service of His kingdom. The vision of CORE is this: those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. So the invitation is to move from observer to participator. So those who are looking in are just looking in. But those who are becoming are activating their gifts in order to join with us in reaching out. So to move from observer to participator, from seeing what God is doing, to join with us in the vision of CORE, to be part of what God is doing in the city, in the church, in the nation, whatever. We don't build the church, God does. It would be an absolute mess of place if we did. It says this: unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. And so it's the Lord that builds the house, but He invites us to be part of what He's doing. Before we came here, the Lord gave me the picture of Noah's Ark, and He thought, gosh, Noah's Ark, what's that all about? And Noah's Ark for me is an image, a metaphor of what God wants to do with us as a church. The ark was built where? In the desert. In an unlikely location. Where are we located? We're located in the desert. There's brokenness, poverty, spiritual decline, exactly in where the area we live. But God wants to build His house because it's He who builds the house according to His design and purpose. And it might not look in the way that we expect. And that's when I got woke up this morning, at 4 o'clock this morning, about preparing the way of the Lord. All that John the Baptist did was prepare the way. He had no idea what Jesus was going to do and what He's going to look like in terms of His ministry. I don't either. But I know what He's shown us in the Bible. But as we begin to be obedient to what God has called us to do and begin to work it out, it might look very different from what we imagine. And the boat was designed for when the floods came, wasn't it? To be a place of protection and a place of salvation. And I believe the Lord is building an ark in the desert. He's building an ark according to His design and purpose. For when the Spirit comes, it is designed for a day such as this. And what is the day? To bring in the harvest. And a while back, about a year and a half ago, Catherine was standing outside the bus stop over here. We lived over in Drumcondra at the time, and most of the time I'd walk in, but occasionally we took the bus. And while Catherine was standing out there, it began to rain. And she, as it's great over here, it's very different in England, but over here if you stand at a bus stop, they actually talk to you. In England it's like, you know, no one wants to really know you. But anyway, Catherine got into chatting with this lady, and it began to rain, and the lady said to her, do you know, someone around here needs to build an ark. And that's what we're going to do. Because it's the Lord who builds the house. Before we came here again, the Lord gave me a picture of those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. What happened when I arrived here? A glass panel was inserted in the door. When you open the door, those on the outside can look in. Those on the inside can look out. And so God wants to connect us with the people outside our door. We've got to start somewhere. We've got to start here. But the vision is also to go out from here into the city, the nation and beyond. But we've got to start somewhere. And so those on the outside looking in, what will they see when they look in? Is it worth joining us? Yes, it is. We've got fantastic people here. It's brilliant people. They're just going to get to know about it, don't they? Then they can join with us as we begin to reach out with the ministry of Jesus Christ, as we just, the kingdom of God has come to bring the lightness into darkness, to see his wonderful revelation as God does that. So how is the vision broken down? Well, the vision is broken down into four areas. The first one is this. We want to be a church that welcomes the outsider in. So we want to be a community of welcome. So we want to be a church that welcomes all those who come through our door, learning to show the love, hospitality, and acceptance that characterizes Jesus' ministry. So the welcome, where does that start? Well, that first starts with who? The church community. We are the welcome. I'm not going to say we are the world. Sorry, that's pretty bad. But I couldn't resist it. But anyway, the welcome starts with us, doesn't it? So when new people come to the church, we are what they see. If we're welcoming, they'll feel welcome. If we're not, they might feel unwelcome. And so we've got to learn together to own that so that people do feel welcome in the church. Secondly, we have things like the welcome desk, which is the beginning stages. We're going to be developing that over the next few months as we bring Rob Jones on as our curator, who's going to help develop the welcome in the church. But the objective of that is to help connect people with the community of CORE. We have a website which we're launching in about 3 weeks, just after Easter, which will be very clear who we are, what we're about, and how you can get involved. And it's a fantastic website. John Rance does an amazing job on it, and it just gives a real, it's a completely renovated what has gone on before. And hopefully it'll be a really useful tool to the church to connect us in together, to find out what's going on in the church, to help people engage with the church, and just to bring us closer together. We had welcome lunches last, a couple of weeks ago, which we had about 55 people who were new to the church. You just want to get to know who we are. And so they're put on, we had about 55 people to that. So that's a wonderful development of building a relationship with people, isn't it? We have Step Up, which is providing a connection to CORE to those internationals, which are people like me and Catherine, who freshly arrived in the city, to help them get knitted in with the community. Because it's very lonely when you first come to the city. It is, isn't it, Catherine? It's a really weird thing. You suddenly come to the city, you don't know anybody, you don't know where anything is. You don't know how to get hold of anything. Your car breaks down. You've got no idea who to see. And so you want to help people who come to the city for the first time to be connected in with a community that can really help them establish themselves. We want to put on socials to help build relationships. And we just had that one, which is coming up in a couple of weeks' time, Amazing Grace. And in the future, we want to open the church up for the day, for coffee mornings, mums and tots, parenting courses, discipleship courses. And we're looking at the whole idea of facilities to enable us to do that. And we're going to present something to you in a while about just that. That's something that God has begun to open up for us. So we'll allow you to see that. So the first value of us as a church is that we are a welcoming church. And we're learning ways to welcome people so they can feel part of what we're doing and they don't feel sidelined or whatever. The second value, which actually is the highest value, and that is the worship of Jesus Christ. And the sign I put, the word I put for that, worship, will be the sign. And it says we want to be a church that worships Jesus in both spirit and truth, because that is the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. We believe that the worship of Jesus is key to the mission of the church. And as we talked about a few months ago, the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 47 sees a vision of a restored sanctuary. And out of the restored sanctuary, water begins to flow. And wherever the water flows, there is life. And out of our worship of Jesus, God releases his Holy Spirit like a river. And as the river flows out of the church, it rebuilds, restores, revives the lives of the people, the community, and the beyond. And so we want to develop the worshipping life of the church. And we're doing that, and we're learning how to do that together. And it's great in the new season having Jack Heaslip on board as an associate pastor, having Rob Jones on board, which is going to be great, to have just to be able to help develop the worship and the services and the way we learn how to do that as a church. It's also great having Ravi on board part-time, just helping develop the worship leaders and developing a broader base in the church to empower new people to get involved with the musical worship in the church. We want people who've got gifts to be able to use them. And so that's a wonderful opportunity. If you're interested in being part of what we do on a Sunday in the musical worship, Ravi would love to hear from you. But that's helping develop those things in the church, the gifts, the creative arts, ultimately the multimedia, so that we can express more fully a greater expression of our worship to God. Also part of the worship is prayer. And it's been really encouraging seeing people coming along to Hot House and praying with us, praying in God's promises. But what's also really exciting is the initiatives that have come out of that. We have the Lydia Prayer Group, and here they are over here. These are living legends who come in every month to pray God's kingdom in, to pray for the church, to pray for you and me. We have the student prayer group that comes in, I think it's 7:30 in the morning, which, as I said before, is an absolute miracle. And they come to pray week by week. And that's an encouragement, because as the people pray, they begin to pray in what God is doing. We have the prayer ministry team, and we want to develop that over the year, to develop, to train and grow people, to minister God's kingdom in the church, but also to be trained up so that we can pray for people in a place like work. Someone goes, oh, I've got a really bad neck. Instead of going, sorry, I'll just photocopy, we might be able to say to them, well, actually, would you be okay if I pray with you? That's what Jesus did. That's what we're called to do. And so we're a church that welcomes the outsider in. We're a church where worship is a sign, but also a community of transformation. Out of worship, out of the releasing of God's Holy Spirit, it can do nothing but transform us as people. And so I've called this, we are a church committed to welcoming the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And I've called that in work, it's kind of what God's doing within the church. So that by God's grace we grow in Jesus' likeness and character, because transformed people transform community. And we understand that as the church gets bigger, it also needs to get smaller. So we value small groups as a place of personal growth and transformation, empowering and activating God's people for the service of the kingdom. And so we believe that God wants us to be transformed people, and the best place of transformation is actually, as the church gets bigger, to get smaller. But I found a really good definition of a community that is transformed, and I got it off the internet from an organization called Living Stones Foundation. It says this: a transformed community is a neighborhood, city, or nation whose values and institutions have been overrun by the grace and the presence of God. It is a place where divine fire has not merely been summoned, it has fallen. It is a culture that is undeniably impacted by the full measure of the kingdom of God. It is a society where supernatural power flows like a river of molten lava, altering everything and everyone in its path. It's quite a powerful image of community, isn't it? And so part of that, the transformation process, is looking after those within the church. Providing a safe place in order to help people to grow in their giftings and to be empowered to be part of what we're doing as a church. And I use the word safe place. Because we have to learn somewhere, don't we? And part of that is through the small groups, and I've asked Graham Jones to oversee that. And the components of the small groups generally are social, great place to hang out to get to know each other, great place to invite people to, the place of worship, so God, studying God's word, praying for each other, worshipping with music, learning to hear from God, etc., etc. and also places where people can be activated into their gifts so they can be part of what we're doing in the church. We have other small groups like the children's ministry. Next year we want to develop the youth and student ministry. We have the Esther ministry, which we heard about last week. We have the mums and tots. We want to look at developing the Alpha and Discipleship course. So we have small groups in the church which are helping people develop and grow in their gifts. And so they've been knitted together in the church. We've also, as I fly through this, and we're going to, we've also developing the pastoral team in the church for the care of God's people and for those outside the church. And at this stage, we've got a team made up of those who exercise pastoral oversight in the church. And we're putting a team together also for those who can pray one-on-one with people in the church, so that we're activating people who've got a real gift in praying for people, but also have the time to spend with people, to pray with them, and to encourage them through whatever they're going through. We also want to recommend that small groups are the first place of pastoral care, because most pastoral care can happen within those small groups, but at times the issues get bigger than the small groups. So we want to provide environments in which we can develop, look after those who are going through harder times. So we want to develop a pastoral team in order to help develop the pastoral oversight within the church. We also want to develop a pastoral team that provides resources within the church and outside the church. And so that includes parenting courses, marriage courses, etc. And outside the church, we want to look at the whole idea of marriage guidance, counselling, all that sort of stuff. And so that we are really taking care of those in the church, and we can be a resource to those outside of the church. And so the three areas so far, we want to be a church that welcomes people in. We want to be a church that worships the sign. We want to be a church of transformed community. But also, we want to be a church that takes God's love out of the church and into the community. And what we did last week, we had a we showed a DVD which showed some of the things which we're doing out in the community, in which we're beginning to minister and we're beginning to have an opportunity to bring God's restoration. And as I said last week, not everybody is called to work out in the community. I understand that. I want to be very careful to value those who have different roles and different functions in the church, because there's different jobs and different things that people have been called to. But also, we want to allow you to see what God is doing in the church with God's people outside in the community. And so, to conclude with, we're going to look at what's happening in the church, out in the community, and then I'm going to hand over to Ruri, who's going to give us just a little thing from the Nehemiah group, which he's going to share with us. So could I ask the lights to be turned down, and then we're just going to show what's this video.
I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. Oh God, there's a cry in our hearts for the nations. God, that you would raise up the fiery witnesses that proclaim this gospel to the ends of the earth. Bold prophets of fire. Raise them up, oh God.
Does anyone believe that God can take a nation in a day? Does anyone believe that God can take a city in a day? Does anyone believe that God can take gotta let them know. things are gonna change, cause they're not like they were before. And it's freedom in the new life. My God, it's a good life. Makes them wish they would have known before.
And so that's I'm a bit loud there. So that's part of what we're beginning to do. We want to make a difference because we believe God's called us as a church to do just that. And I'm just going to invite now Ruri, who's going to come and share with us, and then he's going to initiate the giving during the service. And looks like he's going to another talk as well.
just half an hour.
Half an hour.
Good morning, everybody. Well, for those of you who are probably on the edge of your seats saying, well, what is the really exciting thing that John asked me to share about? I'll tell you now, Susan, rather than putting it at the very end. But basically, there's a building right at the old entrance where we used to come into core that was originally actually the minister's house connected to the church here. And I'm sure a number of you have seen it's been for sale kind of for the last kind of 4 to 5 months. And it was sale agreed to different other people 3 or 4 times. But anyway, the door basically has really opened for the opportunity for Core Church to actually purchase that building, and the trustees and the Nehemiah group have given us as a church the green light. So it's very, very exciting that we can start to, as John was talking about last week, about lengthening the cords of our tent and moving out further into the community. So it's really, really exciting. I actually have the keys of the building with me, and I'll be there, just if people want to come in to have a look for about 20 minutes after the service. So if you want to get a look and see, have a look at it. It's in, at the moment it's in 3 two-bedroom apartments, and there's also a basement. The other really exciting thing is that it means those double doors out of the kitchen, it means that now we can, we have the potential of putting on an extension to link the church in with this building, and maybe put in a glass, some form of an atrium where we could have a much nicer area to have our coffee and, you know, have a proper kind of a kitchen area and stuff. So I'm really excited about the possibility of it. We're still haven't decided on the various uses of it, but as you're probably aware, we're very tight on office space here at the moment in the actual church, and so, you know, and it would be lovely to be able to have an office that is kind of in it's just off the street, as opposed to coming in the door here and having to wander way up to the back of the building. Before I just go through the little form, I just was reminded of a little story back in Exodus, where, and it's quite a little bit apt, where the Israelite community needed to find materials for the tabernacle. And I'm not going to read all of it, but just to give you the gist, was that Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver and bronze, blue, purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red and hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil and the light spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense." And basically, they needed new materials to build the tabernacle, and various people, the community of Israelites really responded, and, you know, some people brought gold, some people brought, you know, all the different things that I read out there. But the really exciting thing is that the craftsmen were, you know, they were building the tabernacle now, because the stuff had come in. The skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary, they left their work and they came to Moses and they said, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done. The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order and sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because they already had what was more than enough to do all the work. I think that, like, that story is just fantastic. They actually had to say to people, "Actually, you know, stop. We actually have way more than what we need to do this work in the tabernacle." And I think it would be really exciting and amazing in for this church, for this community, if we were able to say, "Guys, we were able to come up." We probably would never say it, actually, but to be able to feed back and say, "Guys, we've been blown away. It's amazing. We can do more now. We can there's other projects we can look at." So today is gift day, and obviously we now have something very tangible and real that we'd love to kind of get behind, and it is going to need financial resources to get across the line. So the little gift day pledges are on seats throughout the church. It's fairly easy to just fill in your name, address, contact number, email, and then you know, we've all been hearing on the radio about these SSIAs that are maturing, and maybe some of you missed the boat, you didn't do it. But I mean, I was thinking this morning of maybe one small challenge would be, and maybe you've got your SSIA earmarked for something else. But even if you maybe said, maybe thought about it, and the Lord will speak to everyone individually, but you might even say, "Well, Lord, I'll give away the government contribution that I got, because you know, I you know, that's kind of the surplus, the bonus that I got. So there's a place there for either a lump sum now or then on a specified date, and fill in the date, or you may be already giving by standing order €25 a month. Well, and then you maybe want to pledge some additional amount, so that would be fantastic as well. So obviously, if you're already giving regularly, like this, this is on top. This is like, you know, this is in addition to what you're already giving, just to make that clear. And you might say, well, goodness, I don't know what my situation is. I need to go home and take out all the ledgers and work out, have I any surplus? Well, we're going to be running this for the next 3 weeks. So this week, next week, and the following week. So there's ample opportunity for you to get the numbers crunched and see what you can give. So I'd just like to really encourage you to be generous. I think the Lord has given us all so much, and I will be the new building will be open for about 20 minutes after the service. Just one very practical thing is just please don't be kind of running up and down the stairs there and stuff, because I'm not sure how the building is for insurance and stuff, and I'm just putting on my solicitor's hat there for a minute. Thank you.
So if I ask the worship band to come up, and what we can do is we can hand out, we've got pens here for people to fill out the forms. Obviously, fill out the form if you feel you would like to give. There's no pressure or obligation to do such. But if you want to contribute to what's going on here, we'd love you to do just that. So as the worship band's doing that, we'd like to hand out some pens if that's helpful. Yeah, brilliant. And then we can... And then once you've filled out the form, if you'd like to, it's to fold up the envelope and either put it in the gift day box at the front or the gift day box at the back. So,
the Lord.
Sing of your name, sing of your name. Let every heart, let every tongue sing, sing, sing. Let every heart, let every tongue sing of your name, sing of your name.
Says this: may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And so, Lord, we just thank you this morning that we can worship you. Thank you, Father, that we can be inspired by your word, Lord. And I thank you, Father, you've called us to be your witnesses. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to do just that. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon each of us here this morning as we go out into the Sunday, Lord, into our family and friends, etc. Pray that we'll be a blessing to those we hang out with, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So if you'd like to be prayed for, we obviously always pray for people at the end of the service. There's a box at the front and the back if you're going to put your envelope in. There's tea and coffee at the back, and there's time to hang out together. So good seeing you guys, and we'll see you this evening. If not, we'll see you next week. So God bless. Thank you.